Today we are continuing on our Relationships 101 series, and as hard as it was to talk to you about marriage 2 weeks ago, it's even harder today to talk about parenting. In fact, I always feel a little inadequate whenever I preach a sermon on parenting, though it wasn't always that way. I have to say that when I was single, I thought I was an expert on parenting. After all, I had taught high school students for about 8 years, so I thought I knew everything there was to know, at least about teenagers. And so one of my very first sermons at my very first church was the 10 Commandments on raising your children. After all, I knew everything. Then I had my own, and it became the 10 Suggestions. And then they became teenagers, and so I just burned the sermon altogether. So today, we don't have 10 of anything, we just have 3 rocks. 3 rocks to help bridge the generation gap between parents and children. Now, some of you know about generation gaps. When I was growing up, it probably was talked about a lot more than it is anymore today. Back in the 60s and 70s, you know, we had the awful hair, we had the awful fashion styles. Now, I grew up on a farm, so in those days, whenever you had ripped jeans, you patched them. Now it's just the opposite. I don't get that at all. Why we put those holes in the jeans? Perfectly good jeans, by the way, too. But even though fashions change, hairstyles change, there's one thing that never changes. It is still difficult to raise children, especially teenagers. I guess you could take the advice of Mark Twain. Mark Twain once said over 100 years ago that when your child turns 13, you stuff them in a barrel, you nail on the lid, and then you feed them through the knot hole. And then when they turn 16, you plug up the knot hole. So there you go. That's an idea. Regardless, our first point is this. You're either building bridges in this generation gap or you're burning them. You're either building bridges to one another in a relationship, or you're burning them. And this is primarily today for parents. I know we're not all parents. Some are grandparents, some wannabe parents, some are children. But in any relationship, you're either building bridges or burning them. So 3 rocks today for parents to help you build a proper foundation for your relationship with your children. Number one, teach children the right message. Teach children the right message. And primarily, Paul says, teach them what is required. And this is what is required. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, I don't know if you didn't know this or not, but children will not tend to obey. Wow. That's a revelation. Children will not tend to obey. And so they need to be trained to obey. This is what King David once wrote. He said, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. In other words, we are liars from birth. But it's not just David in the Bible that tells us this. I went to a very high secular authority to prove the point. This is from the Minnesota Crime Commission. All right, Minnesota Crime Commission. And I quote, every baby starts life as a little savage. Right there, Minnesota Crime Commission. It goes on to say, he is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toys, his uncle's watch or whatever. Deny him these, and he seethes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. He's dirty. He has no morals, no knowledge, no developed skills. This means that all children, not just certain children, but all children are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in their self-centered world of infancy, given free rein to their impulsive actions to satisfy each want, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, a rapist. End of quote. That's the Minnesota Crime Commission, a secular authority. And so the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, because otherwise he won't go that way. It's our nature to rebel. And so children are obligated to obey. It is not an option. That's the first thing that we are to teach, what is required. Now, Paul goes on to write, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. That's what it means when he says, obey your parents in the Lord. It's not just for the parents' sake. It's not just for the children's sake. It's for God's sake that children are to obey, and not just children. But we are all to obey authority, because when we do, we are pleasing the Lord. So, students, any students here today? Students, obey your teachers. Why? Because it is pleasing to the Lord. Employees, it is pleasing to obey your boss, because your boss is always right. No, because it is as if you were obeying the Lord. Citizens, obey police officers, because it is pleasing to the Lord. And children, then, when you rebel against your parents, it is the same as rebelling against the Lord. So first thing, teach your children the right message. Teach them what is required. Along with that, teach them what is right. Very quickly, what is right? Well, the first thing we need to understand is there is a difference between right and wrong. Raise your hand if you agree with that. Is there a difference between right and wrong? There is, isn't there? Yes. And how do you know that? Well, God's Word tells us what is right, and it tells us what is wrong. Secondly, God's Word tells us to do what is right. Not what is wrong. Do what is right. And thirdly, the Bible says that when you do what is wrong, there are consequences for doing it. So parents, teach your children what is right. It is primarily up to you, not the schools, not the church, not society, but you. And then teach them what is rewarding. Paul quotes the Old Testament. He says, honor your father and mother. Where have you heard that before? It's a commandment, one of those 10, right? It's the fourth one. And Paul reminds us that this is the first commandment, actually the only commandment, with a promise, that it may go well with you. Do you remember the little story that was read to the children a few minutes ago? Who did it go well with? Mopsy, yes. Flopsy, yes. Cottontail, yes, not Peter, right? Because Peter disobeyed his mother, and it didn't go so well for him. If you don't obey your mother, you get chased with a rake. That's the moral of the story. You don't want to get chased with a rake. Do what is right. Do what is rewarding. And that means not just obey, but also honor your parents. You know, my children will grow up someday, at least that is my hope. They will grow up and they will no longer need to obey me. They should always honor me, but they don't need to obey me. I hope they learn to obey their wives. That would be much better. But we should always honor our parents, for that is what is rewarding. There's probably no one that ever knew that better than King Solomon. You remember him? Wisest man who ever lived, most discerning. And yet a guy who got into a lot of trouble on his own. Parents, that means if you got into a lot of trouble on your own, you can steer your children in the right direction, doesn't it? Solomon knew everything from alcohol to sex and everything in between, and he was there to help steer his children in a different direction. Parents, you don't need to tell your children everything you did wrong. You don't. But steer them in the right direction. Teach them what is rewarding. So that's the first big rock. Teach children the right message. Second one. Teach children in the right manner. It's not enough just to teach the right thing. We also need to teach in the right way. And so Paul says to all parents, but especially to dads, do not exasperate your children. Another translation says, do not provoke them to anger. And the way you do that is by being positive and encouraging. There in your notes, really, there's two ways we can teach. One is you can either beat your kids down, or you can build them up. You can teach them the right thing either way, but it is far better to build them up and encourage them, give them a vision for a better future than it is to beat them down, especially with our words. Nothing crushes the spirit of a child faster than when they see that their parents do not believe in them. Let me give you an example of how this works. How many of you remember Aesop's Fables? Anybody? Aesop's Fables? A lot of you. Do you remember the contest between the wind and the sun? You remember that one? Well, let me refresh your memory. The wind and the sun, they had a contest. They had a bet. They saw, looking down from the clouds, there was an old man. It was a blustery March day. And the man had a jacket on. He had a coat on. So the sun said, I bet I can make the man take off his coat before you can. The wind says, you're on. It's a bet. I'll go first. So the sun goes behind the cloud. The wind then blows with all of his fury, a gale-forced wind, a mighty wind. And of course, what does the man do? He simply wraps up in his coat all the tighter. And no matter how hard the wind blew, he could not make the man remove his coat. So now it's the sun's turn. What does he do? He comes out from behind the cloud. He smiles kindly at the old man. He begins to warm up. He wipes his brow, takes off his jacket, and strolls briskly along. Parents, you can either beat your kids down or you can build them up. You can be either wind or sun, and I can tell you that sun is always better. Sometimes we misinterpret the difference between punishment and discipline. And I'm going to talk about discipline in just a moment, but first, punishment. Punishment is something that we often do to our children when we're angry with them, when we're mad at them, when we want them to straighten up. And so we lash out at them, often in a tone of anger as well. Punishment often makes the parent feel better. After all, now we look good in the eyes of those who are watching. And of course, there's always someone watching, isn't there? It's for the short term. It's to make them do what is right. But the problem is, once the punishment is removed, once the fear of the punishment is removed, the child often goes about and does what they want anyway. That's punishment. On the other hand, we have this third rock, which is to teach children the right master, that it's not us at all as parents. We're not the master, but rather we are a tool of the master. It is our job as parents to bring up our children in the training and instruction of whom? The Lord. The Lord is the true master of all of us. Another word for training is simply discipline. And so we are to discipline our children when they are wrong. It simply means to correct. If they're going in the wrong direction, we want them to go in the right direction. If you were about to drive over a cliff to your demise, wouldn't it be nice if someone put up a stop sign and said, wait a second, wrong direction, and pointed you in the right direction? Proverbs says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. The point here is not the method of discipline, but rather, if we truly love our children, we will discipline them. We won't allow them to continue to go in the wrong direction, but promptly we will correct them. And so, letter B, we direct them to what is right. And the very best way to direct our children to what is right is not to tell them, but to model for them. so they can see what you are doing is what is right. And when you mess up, which you will, to offer forgiveness, to model forgiveness, to model confession. And so, parents, when you mess up, yes, ask your children for forgiveness so that when they mess up and you correct them, they also ask for forgiveness and you offer it. Direct your children to what is right, and especially direct them to the true master. So let me close with this. Remember, this is Parenting 101. I can't give you everything in one day. I would like to direct you to at least one resource, and there are many on Right Now Media, which you heard about at the beginning of the service again. But here's a good one. It's written by an LCMS youth leader for over 40 years. He's been a youth leader. His name is Tom Kozer. And he writes a book called Parenting Without Guilt. Any parents want that? No guilt. Subtitle I really like, Avoiding 7 Things Parents Do to Screw Up Their Kids. Probably a lot more than 7, but at least 7. Well, Tom talks about in his book and also in the conference that I went to a week and a half ago, he said there's approximately, not exactly, but approximately 110,000 hours, waking hours that is, from the time that your child is an infant to the time of maturity, about 20. Now we can argue whether it's 18 or 25 or wherever it is, but for the sake of easy math, let's say that you are a church-going family, and let's say that you go to church 50 times a year. And let's say that each service is about an hour. So in 20 years, you do the math. How many hours? 1,000, right? 1,000 hours you and your children are in church. Now he says that approximately, again, not exactly, but approximately, your child is going to be in some school, public or Christian or Lutheran, regardless, some school, 10 times that amount, about 10,000 hours. How much is left if there is 111,000 total hours? About 100,000 hours. And who is responsible for those waking hours? You, the parent. According to that math, you have about 10 times the influence that I do, or the church does, on your children. And 100 times more than the school you send them to does. So ultimately, who is most responsible for how your children turn out? It is not society. It is not our schools. It's not even the church. But it's your responsibility. God has placed you as the parent, as the authority over the children, and it is their obligation to obey. So build your foundation with the 3 big rocks. Teach your children the right message and in the right manner. But especially and most importantly, teach them the right master. Obviously, it's important what you feed your children physically. You want the greatest nutrition for them. You want them to grow up big and strong and healthy. But it's even more important that you nourish them spiritually. Feed them with the Word of God. Teach them the Bible. Train them up in the way that they should go. As important as it is to put a roof of protection over your children's heads, it's even more important to give them spiritual armor, to protect them against the wiles of the devil and the slings and arrows of this world. As important as it is to get your child into the right college so they get that step up in life and have the best education possible, it's even more important that you pay attention to their spiritual development. And the very best way to do that is to teach them about your Master, your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Not with words, but with your example and your model, so they might know the same blessings that you already do. My friends, we're not perfect as parents. I'll be the first to say that I am not. And at times we get discouraged, even despondent and beaten down ourselves, because of what our children do or because our relationship is not what we want. Well, here's the good news for the day. If you are a discouraged parent, if you've ever been discouraged, know that God has bridged the gap, a far greater gap than you will ever know between your children, the gap between a holy God and sinful people. And He did that by becoming one of us, coming down from heaven, taking on our flesh, showing His love for us by going to the cross and dying in our place. And so, my friends, if He can bridge that gigantic chasm, He can bridge the gap between you and your children, no matter what stage of life you are in. May God grant it for Jesus' sake.